I have a tape here, and I have you on speakerphone, so let's see what works with your dad.
Okay, well, let's try this.
Okay. Still there? Nope. Okay. Let's try again. Jack?
Yes, I guess the speakerphone doesn't work, so we've got to do this manually. So here's my father, Lucien Desjardins.
Lucien?
Desjardins. It's equivalent, I guess in French it means many gardens.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
Desjardins. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. So far.
Excellent. So we're calling from opposite ends of the continent, so to speak.
Just a minute. I think you're speaking a little too loud.
Ah. Okay. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Better? Okay. all right. Well, I'm very happy that you are interested in sharing some of your stories of coming to the Aleutians and being in Kiska, whatever they are. So I have I'm taping right now. If that's all right with you?
What?
I am taping the interview on a digital recorder. If that is okay with you?
Okay, that's all right.
Okay, wonderful. So let me just start off a little bit by, would you please say your name and spell that for us?
My name is Lucien, that's my first name. Desjardins, that's the family name.
Okay, and when were you born?
I was born the 4th of February, 1920.
Oh, your birthday's right around the corner.
That's right, next week.
Well, happy early birthday.
I'll be 91.
Oh, my gosh, you sound great. You sound wonderful.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
My head's all right, the rest is no good.
Oh. You must have been having a full life.
Oh, yes, it was indeed.
Oh, and I guess I just need to say in the tape, this is Janet Clemens. I'm a historian with the National Park Service, the Alaska Regional Office. And today is January 27th, 2011, and conducting the interview from Anchorage to, you guys are in Montreal?
I beg pardon?
Where am I calling to? Are you guys in Montreal?
Yes, I'm in Montreal, a suburb of Montreal.
Verdun?
Yeah, Verdun, that's right.
Excellent. Alrighty. Well, let's get to, and then your son was very helpful in getting this pulled together. I want to make sure he's mentioned, and that is, your son's name is Jacques Desjardins?
No, there's a problem. I think you speak a little too fast.
Oh, okay.
Talk a little slower, please.
Yep, I will slow down, and I shouldn't have had that second cup of coffee. Okay, what was your, tell me about when you went into the Canadian Army and what branch of the service you were in?
I was in the Royal Canadian Corps of Signals. First I had some small training at the base in Joliet, and after that I went to Kingston in the Royal Canadian Corps of Service of signals.
And did you voluntarily join the Army?
If I voluntarily went in the Army?
Yes.
No, they called me to work in the Army.
Okay. and so then you were from Kingston. Where did you go?
From Kingston, we went to Vancouver. And from there, I got a promotion, and they sent me to Prince Rupert, which is a base where I was, and the soldiers were working on the railroad around Terrace, when near Prince Rupert. They were getting ready for the Japanese, I guess. They were waiting for them in case they came here.
Right. Were you surprised to be okay from from Prince Rupert? When did you find out they were shipping you to the Aleutians?
They called me from Vancouver. They brought me back to Vancouver. I said, I don't know what's going on, because I was supposed to go and get married.
Oh.
And so I went to Vancouver, and the first thing I knew, we went to Nanaimo on Victoria Island, and there we had very hard training.
Oh.
And from there, we took a boat, and the next morning, we were on the sea, in the same boat, and they told us we were going to the Aleutians.
Hmm.
I was unpleased, because I was supposed to go home and get married.
I bet.
So, I stayed on the boat, and they kept our mail. They didn't send our mail to my wife.
Wow.
Anyway, we went to zigzagging to Adak on the Aleutian Islands. That was the base where we stopped first.
Right. Did you do more training on Adak?
Yes, we did. And we made a practice of invasion at Great Sitkin, an island near Adak.
Mm-hmm.
And from Great Sitkin, we came back and went to, we're going to Kiska to invade Kiska.
And you heard about the results of Attu?
A result of what?
Of the battle at Attu. Did you hear much about what went on there?
No. Anyway, we didn't get off the boat right away. The others came down first, because I was with the headquarters, you know. I was a lineman working in establishing communications between the regiments and the headquarters. So, we went on the island, and we expected a lot of fire, but we didn't get any. So.
So you were on the headquarters ship.
Yes. Canadian Army. Yeah.
Okay. And when you guys arrived at the island, what was the first thing you did?
First they sent us to establish communications between the sea and the base on the village in Kiska.
Uh-huh, over by Kiska Harbor?
Yeah, that's right. And the first night there, we expected a lot of fireworks, but we didn't get any.
Hmm.
But we heard a little noise, and we stayed quiet because we...
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few battles like that between the different people, but they were on our side.
Oh, okay, so the friendly fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some guys got killed, too.
Oh.
But there was no Japanese there. We didn't know that. Finally, we finally got to the village near the sea there, a Japanese village.
Right.
And we were surprised. We didn't find any Germans. We only found dogs. They had the police dogs in the place.
Right.
So we stayed in a place where the Japanese had built some place to live, you know.
Right.
With a cellar dug in the dirt way down. Yeah, anyway.
Protected you from the wind.
Yeah, that's right. Funny, we went back to a little up there, and we built not a house, but something to sleep in.
So your unit went right over to Kiska Harbor, and you were at the Japanese Navy base, and
We went there first, and after that we went a little inside and built a stayed, took a place there to where their headquarters was.
Oh, okay.
I was always with the headquarters because we were doing jobs from the headquarters to the different places.
Oh, so you got the finer accommodations, it sounds like.
Yeah. Anyway, I was a lineman, establishing lines between the headquarters and the different regiments and Americans and all those guys.
Did you walk everywhere, or did you have vehicles that you were driving?
No, we had nothing to drive in.
Okay, so you had to walk everywhere to.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. And was the actual Canadian camp that was closer to the invasion side of the beach?
It's what, the Canadian?
Yeah, the Canadian camp where most of the tents were set up.
Oh yeah, sure.
So did you actually stay with the whole with the group of Canadians, or did you were you separate or kind of intermixed with where the Americans were?
No, I wasn't mixed with the Americans, but we were the Canadians, and we had the headquarters of Canadians, and I stayed there because from there we established communications from the headquarters to the different places, to the Americans, the Canadians. A regiment of home, they call that.
Okay, and I'm just curious, did you work closely with the Americans, or were you guys always, you know, separately doing?
No, we didn't have much meetings with the Americans.
Really? Okay. They kept everybody separate, it seems like. Or you were more, I should say, you were more efficient to be kept with your own groups.
Yeah, I guess so. Sometimes we wanted some things which we didn't have here. Went to see the Americans to get some, like, some food, some good food.
Oh, yeah?
Compared to the Canadian food.
Oh, what do you remember? What did you have to eat?
Oh, sometimes we had something that wasn't very good. Like, the Americans always had a different. They had cigarettes and they had meals, you know?
Okay, well, I was doing a little bit of reading about the Canadians' time, and it sounds like the Canadians got rum, though. But the Americans didn't, so I guess you had something over on them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you were on that living, and you, okay, so tell me how long were you there, and,
I was there 6 months.
Oh, you were 6 months?
Yeah, we invaded around, in June or early July, I think.
Mid-August?
Mid-August, I think.
The invasion was in mid-August?
Yeah, something like that, I think, around that.
Okay, and so you didn't, did you make it home in time for Christmas?
No, at Christmas, I left the island of Kiska on a boat by the Bering Sea, on which we had a storm, and I was seasick, and we landed at, Dutch Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had, on Christmas Day, we landed at Dutch Harbor, and we had turkey for dinner.
Oh, man. Very memorable, huh?
Oh, yeah, it is. And after that, from Dutch Harbor, we left to go back to Victoria in Canada.
Oh, wow. So they just barely got you out of Kiska on Christmas, by Christmas. That was sort of...
The day before Christmas, we were on the sea in the big storm.
Oh, okay. So they kind of kept their promise to you guys to get you home. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what were your impressions of coming to the Aleutian Islands, the, you know, walking on that tundra?
It was very strange because there was no trees there. It was like in the Arctic. They don't have trees. They have, what do they call that? The kind of grass they have there.
Sure, it's tundra. Muskeg? Muskeg?
And well, I was surprised. And there was a volcano, too, on the island, which had the smoke coming out of it. And I was impressed by that. The place, very impressed, no? Because it's not kind of countries I never ever went to.
Right.
I never went there.
It's beautiful. I went out there in 2009.
It was beautiful. When it's beautiful.
Right.
When it's bad weather, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what are some of your memories? I was going to say fondest memories, but just your memories of your time there in your service.
A big pardon?
Your son wrote that you had gone into one of the structures and found some boxes of tea and condensed milk. Could you talk about that? You went underground into the tunnels, maybe, or caves?
I went in a cave where they had this Japanese food. And then from there, I took some canned vegetables, which were very good.
Oh, hmm.
They even had condensed milk.
Right.
More than condensed milk, made in Japan.
Isn't that something?
We had that, and different kind of food we found there. afterwards, after a few weeks there, they closed that up. They didn't let anybody go there. But anyway, we got a lot of food from there.
Right.
Extra food.
Right. Well, that was some concern. I talked to another veteran, and he talked about a soldier, you know, he wasn't supposed to pick up an explosive device which went off and killed the soldiers around him. So I imagine people were a bit concerned about what you were picking up and where you were going.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. We've been doing reading about soldiers that were souveniring, you know, picking up whatever was around. And looks like you found that Japanese fan and the wooden bullets. And
I brought back some different things. I brought a Japanese flag, and I got some little things there. We're going to send you some copies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your son did send us pictures. That's
great.
Yeah,
my son is going to take care of that, and he'll send you anything he thinks it'll be useful to you.
Right, thank you. And I was just trying to get a sense of, was that pretty typical? Every soldier was picking up stuff and, you know, to send it on home?
We picked up anything we could.
Yeah.
But we had no place to put it.
Oh. Huh.
Anyway, I got a few things, but I brought them. I still got them. My son has got them in front of him there.
Right. So did you feel like you were in a really strange place?
Yes, very strange. I wasn't on some other planet. I don't know. It wasn't like Earth where I lived. You know?
No, and then
no trees, no wood at all there.
Right. And then you didn't get your mail for several weeks. It sounds like.
Oh yes, my wife didn't hear about me. Her mother told her. She says, "You see what soldiers are like. See, he'll never come back." I loved my wife. I was married 62 years the same girl.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
gosh,
and I still love her.
Oh, that's nice. So when did you get married?
I got married when I came back from Kiska. When we came back, we got a leave, and I went home and I got married.
Oh.
Because I was supposed to get married 6 months before that, in June.
So it delayed your marriage by 6 months.
It was late 6 months, but anyway, I got married. That's the only thing that was beautiful.
And after you left Kiska, where did you serve, or had your time?
No, I came back to Canada. We had different jobs there at Prince George and Wainwright and all those places. And finally, after a while, I came back to Montreal at the base there. And I worked in the office typing when the soldiers were going out of the army.
Mm-hmm.
They were examined by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
We had to type that on a sheet there.
Sure.
Instead of writing, the doctor's writing.
Right.
So we typed that, and I worked there until it was my turn to leave.
Mm.
So I left with pleasure.
you did your duty, right?
Yeah, I know. I was there in the army 4.5 years.
4.5 years? Okay.
Yeah, so after that I got married and became a fireman. Uh-huh. I was a fireman for 35 years. And anyway, I had a good life, a very good life.
It sounds like it. And then Jacques had written that he and his brother, I think, both went into the communications field.
Uh-huh.
So did that have any your experience, do you think, being a linesman or communication? Did that somehow influence them?
I can't understand what you say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your sons went into the communications careers?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Do you think that's because of your experience?
No, I don't think so. I went in as a fireman because I like being a fireman.
Mm.
I never did anything else.
Yeah? Did you?
I had a hard time, but I like to be a fireman.
Yeah.
I was used to I don't know, not war, but hard times. So,
oh, yeah.
When you get to a fire, it's quite a job.
Oh, it certainly is. Very important at the time.
Yeah,
When you were in the Army, did you did they just tap you to be the linesman, or did you have a, you know, much of a choice?
A choice?
Right, for what you did in the Army?
Oh, yeah, I had a choice, yeah. I decided to go with the signals part of the Army. Royal Canadian Corps of Signals. Because I thought there was things there I liked very much.
Okay, do you remember, I guess I have a list here, I'm not that familiar with the Canadian, you know, regiment, or do you remember what group you were with, by chance?
Oh, I was with, I think it's one of the letters there. Is it 13th?
It was a big 13th Canadian Infantry Brigade group.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, below that, I guess, it's broken down to field regiments and Canadian Fusiliers and Winnipeg.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
You want to speak to my son now?
You have anything else you'd like to for us to know about, or from the Canadian perspective that, you know, what you... We heard you guys were very, you know, always well-dressed and did the parades and were very, you know... kept yourselves, you know, well presented. Is that your opinion?
Anyway, I'm going to go back to my subject because I got to rest a little bit.
Oh, you bet. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful hearing from you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
All right. And we will send you a copy of the transcript.
And my son's going to send you some copies of the things I have here.
Okay.
Interested in. Like, I have some... postcards of Japanese ships taking British ships in Japanese.
Right.
That's... I'll send you a copies of that.
Okay, excellent.
And my son will tell you what he's going to do.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Mrs. Clemens.
Hi.
Okay.
That went very well. Thank you so much for...
Very good.
Your dad sounds great. Very
okay.
Clear.
I didn't know, but he actually had some wartime postcards with naval fights going on. His Japanese flag. He's got his soldier's manual. I'll be able to scan or photo everything and send it in to you if you want it.
Okay, whatever you feel like doing, and then we'll incorporate that as part of the copy of the transcript to send back to you, so it's all together also.
Okay, I have a copy of a document. Unfortunately, it's not dated, but it says Canadian edition. I don't know if it was Life magazine or it says... true Canadian edition, and it's a special edition, appears on Canadian edition only, and it's War Against the Williwas, which I think it means strong winds in the Aleutians.
Right. Yeah, Williwas.
And it describes the invasion from a Canadian perspective. So I'll try and scan everything and send it in to you.
Okay, or if you want to send me the citation, I could look that up if it's, you know, I don't want to put you to too much trouble.
No, I'm retired, so I got lots of time on my hand. But,
oh, okay. Are you going to take up duck decoy carving, too?
I can't even draw a snowman, so I don't have those skills.
Oh, you have other ways to occupy your time, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Lots of grass to cut and painting to do and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, aren't you guys buried in snow like we are right now?
Actually, this is the second winter that we've had very little snow. We just missed two big ones that hit New York. New York today has got, I think it was about a foot and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And not a drop here. Everything went south and missed Canada.
Wow.
Which is great.
You don't miss it too much. And I'd heard, this was around Christmas or just after, with they were actually rescuing stranded motorists in Ontario.
Oh, yeah, that's up near Lake Superior. They had a lot of lake effect snow, and they had a big dump there, and everybody was stuck.
That was just astounding, 100 and something people, you know, so, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, till the lake freezes over, it's always touchy, like Buffalo in
Oh, yeah, the lake effect. I lived in Columbus, Ohio for 2 years.
There you go.
Yeah. I sent you an email today, the photograph of the Canadian Fusiliers holding up the Japanese flag on Kiska.
Let's see now. I probably didn't see that one because I checked my mail. Did you send that just a little
while ago? Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably sitting at home in the...
Yeah.
The edition of the magazine that I have actually shows a soldier standing guard right next to what appears to be the two same flags that you sent me in
a
photograph.
Really? Oh, the same location then.
Yeah, it sure looks like it.
Interesting.
Well, different time maybe, but they look pretty well the same.
Right.
Same angle, same beach and everything, so...
Right. Oh.
Anyway, we'll send everything down to you.
Oh, that's kind of neat. That's, you know, just helps fill in the picture so much better.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
So I hope, if it's a small contribution, but hopefully it'll add into all the other stuff you have.
Definitely, and having, obviously, you know, having the Canadian perspective, bringing that in a real person is always very valuable. And
yep.
And we do. I can't give you a time frame, but we will. We do actually do transcribe the interviews, and then we will make sure you get them. I'm going to send you a calendar. We have an Aleutian World War II calendar. Your dad might enjoy seeing that.
Okay, well that's fine. When you transcribe everything, you might want to watch out. I heard Father talk about Germans on the island, but he actually meant the Japanese.
Yep, I understood that.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, everything else he seemed to be right on, and I didn't pick up any really discrepancies other than that, but, hey, we all do that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, he's allowed.
Yeah, he is.
To have a few.
Well, and if it's okay, if I might have some follow-up questions, could I email them to you, maybe? And...
Sure, anytime you want.
Okay, that's wonderful. Yep. Thank you. And I'll also give you, we have... explanation of how we use information for research or education, and then also for, we'll send you a permission form have your dad sign to say, yes, I'd like that to be available, you know, whether we put it on our website, like as a quote, you know, that sort of a thing. So I'll have a little bit more follow-up information for you.
Yeah.
But
I don't think he was sworn to secrecy when he left the Army in 1945, but I think they'll forgive him if he said something.
Probably. And I've read a lot more detail of Canadians' unhappiness, shall we say, experience. So your dad was very diplomatic.
He always has been.
Oh, wonderful.
Good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Doc, to both you and your dad.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.